This is Standing Watch. And now, evangelist Norbert Link.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. What is in store for Austria? And what do current events have to do with the situation in Germany and in Europe? First, I'd like to give you a brief overview insofar as the spectacular success of Sebastian Kurz in Austria is concerned, the new superstar on the political scene, the Superman, the phenomenon, as he is called. The Washington Post wrote on October 16 that Austria became the latest European country to take a sharp turn right, with the conservative Austrian People's Party, the ÖVP, or Volkspartei, riding a hardline position on immigration to victory in national elections and likely to form a government with a nationalistic party, the Austrian Freedom Party, or FPÖ, Freiheitliche Partei, led by Hans Christian Strache, who is the successor to the late Jörg Haider. And that party has long advocated an even tougher stance. The result puts the 31-year-old foreign minister and People's Party leader, Sebastian Kurz, in line to become Austria's next chancellor after a campaign in which he emphasized the need to strengthen border controls, reduce caps on refugees, and slash benefits for newcomers. Now, Politico wrote on October 18 that the last time Austria's populists won more than a quarter of the vote and played kingmaker in 1999, the other EU members isolated Vienna through bilateral sanctions. But what shocked EU leaders then is barely causing a stir now. In part, this is simply because the inclusion of the far right is not as shocking as it was 20 years ago. Since then, governments across Europe, from Hungary to Italy, have turned rightward, and a host of mainstream political leaders have adopted anti-immigrant rhetoric in an effort to keep the political fringes at bay. Politico also added on October 24 that the FPÖ, the party led by Hans Christian Strache, has accepted Sebastian Kurz's invitation to start coalition talks. Kurz said that all talks with the parties had been constructive, but when he spoke to Strache, he said he had the feeling that the FPÖ had a strong will of shaping the country's future. Now, the FPÖ got third place behind the Social Democrats, but a strong showing. Kurz said that there will be three important areas of coalition negotiations: establishing a new style of politics, creating a coalition that has the will to make changes, and maintaining a clear pro-European stance. And if this coalition comes about, which most observers feel it will be, then that would catapult Austria into the country's right-wing corners of the political spectrum. Now, not everybody was happy, even though the euphoria, especially in Germany and Austria, about Sebastian Kurz doesn't seem to know any bounds. But here's an article by Deutsche Welle, reporting on October 16 that German media had accused, before the election, frontrunner Sebastian Kurz of fishing for far-right votes. And following his victory, German satirical magazine Titanic sparked an uproar in Austria after it published an image of Kurz with a target over his chest and the caption, "Finally possible, killing baby Hitler." Adolf Hitler, who was born in Austria, ruled Nazi Germany from 1933 until his death in 1945. And of course, Titanic's opinion is clear, the article says. The wrong politician is about to become chancellor, and that politician is too right-wing. But not only that. Sebastian Kurz has made statements like making Austria great again, and also saying that Austria will be an extremely important country in Europe, and nothing will happen in Europe without Austria. Now, was he wrong? Was that just an exaggeration? Or is there more to it? Deutsche Welle wrote on October 15 that Kurz rose to prominence in 2013 when at 27 he became the world's youngest serving foreign minister. When a new wave of refugees seeking to relocate to Europe became a continent-wide concern in 2015, Kurz recognized Austrian voters' anxiety over unchecked immigration. He called for tougher external border controls, better integration, and stringent control of political Islam funded from abroad. He also organized the shutdown of the popular overland route through the West Balkans. His hardline positions have prompted observers to call him hard-hearted, as Germany's Die Welt newspaper did. According to Professor Fitzmaier, what Kurz has accomplished is unprecedented in Austrian politics. And Bloomberg reported on October 14 that more than two-fifths of voters declared the desire for a strongman leader. And they apparently got him now. Is someone like Kurz needed in Germany? That's a big debate which is happening right now in Germany in light of coalition talks, which seem to be extremely difficult. And even if a Jamaica coalition, as it is called, between CDU, CSU, FDP and the Greens should come about, which is doubtful, but if it comes about, most observers feel it's not going to be successful and won't endure for long. And so in light of this, Politico wrote on October 23 that a member of German Chancellor Angela Merkel's own party said, "Their conservative CDU needs new party leadership." Alexander Mitsch suggested that his party could learn from the example of Austria's conservative leader, 31-year-old Sebastian Kurz. Of course, that is a very good model for Germany. "We wish we had someone in Germany like Mr. Kurz," he said, adding that a young, new leader would bring new momentum to the party. Now, what Mr. Mitsch did, he echoed a statement by the mass tabloid Bild Online, asking the very same question on October 16, why don't we, in Germany, have someone like Sebastian Kurz? And the magazine's euphoria with Sebastian Kurz doesn't seem to know any limits. In an editorial on October 17, and now I'd like you to listen very carefully to this, Kurz was compared with Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, as both were very young when they accomplished great things. And the question was asked as to what supernatural abilities Kurz might possess. He was described as a man without sins, as he is too young to have committed a sin, even though he has been living for 13 years with his girlfriend without being married. And then the article concluded that the young have now to replace the old. Now, it's interesting that the Bible warns us of this very development, saying that the children will rule over the adults, over the older people, and over nations. Now, what is interesting to me is the fact that somebody like Sebastian Kurz might very well arise in Germany. On the other hand, we have always said that the last revival of the European or Roman Empire in Europe, the last final tenth revival, will be led by Germany or Austria, or to put it differently, by a German or an Austrian leader. For more information, read our free book, that's the 10 European Revivals of the Ancient Roman Empire. And it tells you a lot about the history of Europe, those nine revivals of the Roman Empire, which already have taken place, and the last one, which is occurring right now in front of our very eyes. And Austria has played a very important role in previous revivals. On the other hand, the incredible statements which we have just heard about in this mass tabloid Bild, which reflects the opinion of most Germans and Austrians, that Sebastian Kurz could not have sinned because he is too young, is just an incredible statement of ignorance. The author doesn't know anything about sin. The author doesn't know anything about the fact that living together in sin is sin. And if you are living together without being married, you are committing fornication, as the Bible clearly shows. But the word sin, of course, is something that people don't like to hear anymore. God is something they don't like to hear anymore. The Bible is something they don't like to hear anymore, and the Bible prophesies that lawlessness will abound, to the point that the man of sin, the man of lawlessness, a religious leader, will sit and stand in the temple of God, proclaiming to be God. So why are we surprised when we read stupid statements like the ones I have just quoted to you? We have prepared two booklets, which you should read if you have any doubt as to what sin is. One is God's Law or God's Grace. And the other booklet, Punishment for Our Sins. Yes, my friends, there is going to be punishment for our sins if we don't repent of it. And frankly, most people have no clue as to what sin is, as is also of the Bild Online magazine stated. And so they will be punished regardless. You should know what sin is. You should know how to live. You should know what to do, because these events, as I have portrayed them to you right now, have tremendous political and prophetic meaning. The final revival of the ancient Roman Empire is about to occur. And when that occurs, a terrible time of great tribulation will come over this world. It's clearly prophesied. You need to know about it. You need to know what to do about it. Thank you very much for listening. And this is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by the Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.